8 people are dead, more than 100 hurt by a big storm that hits the Dallas area. Oklahoma bombing suspect Terry Nichols reportedly to be charged with complicity. 13 Cuban refugees sent back home. Good morning. I'm Mitchell Krause with the CBS World News Roundup. The sound of wind, hail, and rain that pummeled the Dallas-Fort Worth area last night. The storm killed at least 8 people, 11 others are feared missing, more than 100 were injured, many of them at an outdoor festival along the Trinity River. Power was knocked out at the American Airlines terminal at the airport. About 40 flights were diverted. The emergency room at the Baylor University Hospital was flooded with 6 feet of water. Lori Henderson is an ER worker.
The water started rushing in the glass doors, and the pressure was building up, so we knew they were going to bust, so we had to get everybody upstairs before the elevators went out. So we got everybody on the elevators and up to the operating room, recovery room, and then they had to cut all the elevators off because the water was going in them.
Softball-sized hail damaged a convention center and jail, a nursing home, and a bakery, but hardest hit was a warehouse whose roof collapsed, killing at least 2 people. Mike Rogers of CBS radio affiliate KRLD reports.
Angel Solis was working in the front office when the roof gave way. She says she heard an explosion and saw a cloud of white smoke billowing out of the warehouse.
After that, we just heard a lot of people screaming and yelling and saying, "Let me out, let me out." And we opened the doors for them and we let them through the back doors so that they could get out to safety.
Torrential rains were falling at the time, and all that water on the roof is the suspected cause. This employee says that wouldn't surprise her a bit.
It's been leaks in that building ever since I've been there. And they know, they put out water buckets, big old capes to catch water and let it drip in trash cans, and they always knew about it.
Mike Rogers for CBS News, Dallas.
Texas insurance industry officials say damage from last night's storm and another one a week ago could top $500 million. A spokesman called Dallas the hail capital of the nation. A mother and her 3 children were killed in a Chicago apartment building fire early this morning. Arson is suspected. Oklahoma City bombing suspect Timothy McVeigh's Army buddy Terry Nichols will reportedly be charged with complicity in the case. The Dallas Morning News says there's evidence Nichols not only helped make the bomb, but may have driven to Oklahoma City alone so that he could pick up McVeigh after the bombing, allowing McVeigh to abandon his getaway car. And the New York Times says the Justice Department is preparing a large-scale reorganization of the bombing investigation and will soon announce a lead prosecutor in the case. Attorney General Janet Reno, in a speech to law enforcement officers last night in Newark, New Jersey, rejected the charge made by some that the Oklahoma City bombing was justified by the government's conduct in the 1993 raid on the Branch Davidian sect in Waco.
How could some people imply a moral equivalency between the government's efforts to save lives at Waco and the cruel and indifferent taking of lives in Oklahoma City?
13 men who escaped Cuba on 2 boats are being forcibly returned to their homeland today by the U.S. Coast Guard. They were picked up by a cruise ship on Wednesday off Little Cayman Island and transferred to a Coast Guard cutter last night. The men are the first to be repatriated under the new U.S. policy, requiring Cubans to be treated the same as any others trying to enter the U.S. illegally. In Miami, the mother of 2 of them pleaded for compassion, then collapsed and was taken to a hospital. The O.J. Simpson jury, which showed up in court yesterday wearing T-shirts from a pizza restaurant, have 2 days off to prepare for another week of trying to sort out one of the most complex and crucial aspects of the case.
This is David Dow in Los Angeles. After more than 3 months of testimony, the Simpson murder trial is headed for the main event of the government's case. Prosecutors this weekend are preparing for the testimony of Robin Cotton, director of Cellmark Laboratories of Germantown, Maryland, where much of the DNA testing of blood evidence was conducted. DNA is thought to be the key to convicting Simpson. The prosecution will be presenting what may be its driest, most plodding testimony at a time that Judge Lance Ito is growing increasingly impatient. Prosecutor Hank Goldberg has been learning that the hard way.
If the FBI testing showed that there was no EDTA...
Sustained. Counsel, ladies and gentlemen, you were to completely disregard that last series of questions and answers regarding EDTA.
Can we approach on that, Your Honor?
No, you may not. Proceed.
Meanwhile, the father and sister of murder victim Ronald Goldman have filed a wrongful death suit against Simpson, alleging he brutally murdered the 25-year-old waiter. David Dow, CBS News, Los Angeles.
U.S.-Japan trade talks have again failed to resolve the dispute over opening Japanese markets to more American-made cars and auto parts. Trade Representative Mickey Cantor says the talks in British Columbia were marred by Japan's rigid ideological stance. Possible U.S. trade sanctions against Japan is the topic of a high-level White House meeting today. Linda Lim, who teaches business administration at the University of Michigan, says a Japanese capitulation is unlikely.
Japanese industry, including autos, is not in good shape at this point. Therefore, from an economic point of view, Japanese business would be expected to resist any concessions to the U.S. at this time.
Japan says it will appeal to the new World Trade Organization if sanctions are applied. A close call for Tokyo as two burning bags of chemicals are doused in a busy downtown subway station just moments before their fumes could have killed many people. It's the fourth incident in just over a month since the deadly nerve gas sarin was released in Tokyo's subways, killing a dozen people and sickening another 5,500. Monday is the 50th anniversary of Nazi Germany's surrender in World War II, and it's being marked by ceremonies already underway across Europe. We have two reports. First, from Adam Rayfield in London.
Heads of state and world leaders from more than 50 countries are gathering here for a weekend of commemoration and celebration of the end of the war in Europe. A million people are expected to attend the main events in London's Hyde Park. Among them, thousands of American veterans returned, perhaps for the last time, to revive old memories. Among them, men of the 847th Bomber Group of the 8th Air Force.
We knew who the enemy was, and we knew what the enemy was, and we were going to go get him if we could.
The nation was united in World War II. It was patriotism at its best, and I don't think we'll ever see it again.
It was the last popular war. It was the last patriotic war.
The presidents of Britain's two main allies will be missing, however. President Clinton and Russia's President Yeltsin have sent representatives. But in the spirit of reconciliation, 50 years later, Germany's Chancellor Kohl will be here. Adam Rayfield, CBS News, London.
This is John Holland in Berlin. Much of Germany will be commemorating the anniversary solemnly this weekend, giving thanks for 50 years of peace. For Karl Böhm Tettelbach, born 85 years ago in Portland, Oregon, it is also a haunting personal memory of war against the U.S. Raised here by a German father and American mother from age 5 and later a decorated German Air Force officer in World War II, Böhm Tettelbach was an interpreter at the Nazis' final surrender. His most vivid memory?
Berlin was in ruins, and we were right in the center of this awful scenery, and definitely we were quite depressed.
It was a shameful defeat, he said, but also a deserved one. That his adopted country, Germany, is now a democracy and close ally of his birthplace, America, he said, was a blessing he could not have predicted half a century ago. John Holland for CBS News, Berlin.
And it's 10 minutes past the hour.